do the numbers, the finances, the accounting, the taxes, do those things stress you out? And if so, you are in the right place this week. Hello, everyone, community and listeners of the Organized and Productive podcast. Welcome. This week, we are talking about numbers and how to simplify, get organized in your finances. More specifically, here in the U.S., April tends to be tax season, although many of us, especially business owners, do file taxes all throughout the year or in different schedules. But April as a whole tends to be tax season here in the U.S., so I thought it was perfect for us to talk about numbers as this is a topic that is fresh in our minds and in our society. And I have an expert and a very special guest for us to talk to us about that because even though we here at the Organized Flamingo do help people get their paperwork in order that has to do with like their finances and their, you know, all of their online statements and just to get it nice and tidy, at the end of the day, we are not accounting or finance experts. So it is always the best idea for you to team up with someone that understands your very specific situation about your business or your personal life as it pertains to the numbers so that you know what to keep, what not to keep, what's important, and all that good stuff, right? And so that when you're working with an organizer, like whether it's us or whoever it may be, that you both can, you know strategically what you need to keep, what you need to organize, and you're not just going around in circles trying to keep everything. Because there's things that, as you will listen to Kendra in the podcast today, there are things that you may not even need and you're keeping and they're just weighing you down. So I thought it was a perfect topic again for April and to bring in an actual expert in this field. So this week we've got a very special guest, Kendra James Anderson. She is, like I mentioned, she's, you know, wife, a mom, a podcast host and all those things. A little background about her is that I met her, someone actually referred me over to her. I was looking for people in this industry that I could follow along that also for my own personal, you know, benefit, of course. And I was looking for like finance people, really smart, awesome people. And her name came up a couple of times and then I started following her. And then I also thought, oh my gosh, she is just so fabulous at explaining finances and the numbers and taxes, like a person to person, not just as a finance guru to a person. Like she understands the humanity piece of how stressful this can be. So she was just like a perfect candidate for me to introduce to you, my community, because, you know, I want to refer you to the best that I know that I'm exposed to or people that I think you should know, follow, and hopefully engage with to help you in your organizing journey. So another quick thing is that she has worked in the corporate world. So she graduated from Clemson University. She has worked in the corporate world, climbed up the corporate ladder, and while working for corporations such as GE, and after sitting in hundreds of boardroom meetings, a lot of us can definitely relate to that, in witnessing the power in the CEO-CFO relationship, she took her boardroom experience and founded the Finance Femme to support business women with intentional CFO support. So as you can see, she is the perfect person to have this conversation with. So if you're new around here, just know that with our guest, we get straight to the conversation, like we go right in. So this is a little bit about her in the show notes. If you want to follow along and follow her and her accounts as we talk, her links are in the show notes. So head on down there if you're the type of person that wants to see her stuff as I'm asking her the questions. All right, well, let's get to it, shall we? Let's talk numbers. Here we go.
Welcome to the Organized and Productive Podcast with the Organized Flamingo. I am your host, Stephanie, a professional organizer and productivity expert. Ready to explore the right organizing and productivity solutions for you? Yeah? Well, then let's go. All right. Hi, Kendra. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I've been a big, big fan for a while following your journey and your tips on finance and whatnot. So I'm so glad you're here. And as the audience knows, we just get straight to the questions. So, okay. So the first question is just, let's just start from a base. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between finance, accounting, and bookkeeping?
Yes. So I love this question because I feel like it helps set the stage because there's a lot of confusion. And there's a lot of confusion even in the accounting and finance community, honestly. So the best way to kind of explain it, bookkeeper is responsible for tracking like your day-to-day transactions. So think about any money that comes in the business, any money that goes out of the business, whenever you swipe your debit card, write a check, whatever it is, the bookkeeper is responsible for classifying what that transaction is. So is that a supplies expense? Was that meals? Is that income? And so that's their responsibility. Nothing really beyond that. So they're not doing any strategy or deep dives with you on how to improve things necessarily. They're really just really good at keeping track of things. Your accountant is kind of your next level. They're the one that maybe you are buying equipment or hiring employees. They're going to know how to properly classify things that are a little bit more high level, like your fixed assets, things along that nature. But they're almost, they're just that step above a bookkeeper. But they're still looking at your past transactions. So again, the income and expenses that you've done in the past. Their end goal is to create an accurate financial statement. So profit and loss, balance sheet, something like that. Now, finance is really a completely different wheelhouse. Finance is all forward looking. So where your bookkeeper and your accountant are looking at what you've done, your finance person that's coming in, they're looking at how do we get you where you want to go. So on the finance side, we can't do our job without the bookkeeper and the accountant because they're giving us the data, the accurate data of what you've done. But so we definitely need each other. But once we take that information, we take that information plus any other worldly data, economics, all of that, and then figure out the strategy to get you to where you're wanting to go. So accounting and finance are kind of different, well, very different in that way. And bookkeepers and accountants are kind of similar, but just a different level of granularity in the work that they do for you.
Oh my gosh. You know, I've never heard anyone really, well, first, it's so simplified the way you are, like for the common person like me. But the way that you said, like the forward-based, like forward thinking, yeah, forward planning versus the past, and one can't do the other, you know, the other, each other's part. So that's awesome. Okay. So for the listeners and just in general, like the common person who's trying to decide, what do they need? Where are they? Like, what can they do that they're good at, or may like, versus what should they outsource? Like, let's talk about, now that you've explained what those three are, what would you tell someone that's just really quickly asking you, okay, got it. All right. So now what? Like, where should I go so that I can get my stuff together?
So first things first, it kind of, there's like a little bit of a number threshold that we can kind of throw on this to also help give a little bit of insight. So if you're bringing in, I usually say like that 100K a year, which is a little bit more than 8K a month of income in your business on a monthly basis, you're going to want to outsource at least to a bookkeeper. You can find some very reasonable bookkeepers for a couple hundred dollars a month that can take that over for you, where they're literally handling all of your bookkeeping. So you don't even have to worry about, you know, should I do this 25% of it and kind of outsource the rest? You can actually just hand it over and they can organize it for you and make everything make sense from a financial reporting standpoint. So once you really hit that threshold, I say go ahead and outsource it to a bookkeeper. And finance and all that comes later when you have big strategic things and decisions that you have to make. But your day-to-day, start off at 100K, bring on the bookkeeper. Now, before that, up until that point, it's really great. You can definitely leverage some different software that we might talk about here later. But up until that point, the best thing to do is, you know, use an Excel spreadsheet or a Google sheet. Use something that is just tracking on a monthly basis how much money is coming in and how much is going out. And it doesn't have to be super granular. Like, you don't have to mimic a profit and loss statement and say, this much income came from this source versus this source, just how much money is coming in and how much is going out. The best thing that you can use to help you get that information, your bank statements. You know, your bank statements are going to show you that. Now, the least amount of bank accounts that you have, the easier this exercise, right? Because you might just have one bank statement that you have to look at versus 15. But that's the best way to start before you're using a bookkeeper.
So then if that is happening, so that, you know, you have the accounts where you understand, you know, that money's coming in and out and you can quickly download it or give it to somebody else and you can track it. Where do people normally get stuck? Like, what is something that you have seen often where, okay, they're listening, they're like, okay, got it. Okay. I can do this. I can track it. Where is like that hurdle that you have seen where people just kind of get stuck in the bookkeeping part especially?
It's the now what part. It's like, I'm doing this. Now what? Like, I see how much money is coming in, how much I'm spending. Now what am I supposed to do with this? And that, you know, I can completely understand how you kind of get there. You're doing this work to organize everything. And then you're like hoping that it's going to tell you something, and it is telling you something, but you have to then kind of get familiar with your numbers to be able to dissect what is it telling you. And it usually does take at least a few months, 3 to 5 months of doing that exercise to then be able to see the story. Because 1 month's worth of data is just, it's not really going to be super helpful. But after a few months, you'll start to see trends. So maybe you see, okay, maybe I am ordering a lot of supplies from Amazon every single month, like way more than my business can really afford. Or maybe I am bringing in a lot more income than I actually thought that I was bringing in. Maybe I can actually invest more in this thing. So once you look at your financials over a period of time, again, usually like 3 to 5 months to start, it'll start to show you things that will help you understand your business better, where you can make decisions. So I find that's where most people get stuck, is they might do the exercise for 1 month and maybe even for two, but they're like, what am I supposed to do with this data? And it is hard if it's just you and you don't have someone to have the conversation with. That's where like an accountant or a CFO can come in. But even just yourself, you can kind of get familiar with what's going on in your business by looking at those trends.
So I mean, I can already hear some of our community members saying, okay, got it. All right, check, check. What are some of the things that if they feel like they can get a couple of months of data, right? Like they can give it to somebody or they can do it themselves. Okay, got it. I just need a couple months to make a story. What's the difference between like electronic things that they can track electronically and the stuff that not? And here's where the question is actually really going. Talking about receipts. What should people keep as far as receipts? Like, what are some of the things that they can just, you know what, don't worry about it because we can get this stuff virtually somehow through your accounts versus, you know, you should really keep the paper. Like that's really where the question is going. Like, okay, what can you tell us about that world of paper receipts versus the online? What should they keep so that they can make this transactional piece a little more organized and seamless?
Love this question. So to start, your life will be so much easier if the vast majority, if not all of your financial transactions are done via either a debit card or a credit card or a checking account, but not cash. Cash is where you're going to have to really then bring in all the receipts and all the additional documentation. Because think about it, if you spend $100 taking your team out for lunch, the IRS can very well think that you took that $100 of cash and just like went and got your hair done, right? So it's a lot harder to prove it. But when you are using your card, that's always going to show up on your bank statement with that vendor name and that level of detail on there. So the first big thing is, for sure, as much as possible, do not use cash. Do not use cash. Cash App or anything that equivalent, right? Like use a banking card of some sort. But beyond that, you really don't have to have a ton of paper receipts. So like, you know, if you are going to Target and you're ordering all these different supplies, you don't have to keep that paper receipt for later. Now, where you do, where it's a good idea to typically keep paper receipts, it's for meals and for travel. So if you're going out to eat and you want to write that off, usually just keep the receipt on the back of it, write the names of those folks who you went to dinner with or lunch with. But what I do is I take a picture of it and then I upload it to like a Google Drive. That way I really don't actually have it, but at the end of the year, it's still all digital. Same thing with travel. If I'm traveling for something that's business related, I'll say what the event is for, but then I'll take a picture of it on my phone and upload it to the drive. I actually, at the end of the year, have no paper because that's just a lot to deal with. It's organized. So as much as possible, keep things digital. Even like your receipts that come to your email, like you can always just take those out of your email and just drop them into a little vendor folder on the drive or something like that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, so what I've seen, and then kind of if you can walk me through this, what I see people do is those duplicates, like they'll have the paper. I think they're worried, that I think most of the clients that I work with are worried that there will be no trail, no paper trail. So then they have the electronic and then we have the paper. And then there's that fear of missing out, of, you know, reconciling. But can you talk to us a little bit about if you're in that position, this is where bookkeepers, right? And accountants, like they can reconcile and make sure that they, you know, they can tell you what to keep and what not to keep. Is that the idea of leveling up with a service that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the reconciliation process, in a nutshell, what it does is, first of all, it should be done on a monthly basis. So that condenses, you know, that you only have, you know, 30 days worth of transactions, right? So at the end of each month, you're actually reconciling or tying out and ensuring that every transaction is properly accounted for in your accounting system so that nothing is missed. Because for some weird reason, sometimes, you know, maybe this transaction didn't come over into your accounting software, or maybe it came over twice. Your reconciliation process will find that and fix that problem for you. So there wouldn't be any need to then hold on to any other documentation. So for sure, working with someone and working with them on a consistent basis where they're able to do that process on a monthly basis, it's ideal, and you won't have to worry about holding on to, you know, the bank statements and all of those things for 8 years. So it's definitely best when possible to work with someone. And if you can't monthly, then even just at the end of the year, if you can have someone just do one annual year-end cleanup, then that's okay as well. Because, you know, again, it's just 1 year's worth of data versus like 10 years worth of data.
What can you tell some of the people that have not kept anything? So one of the reasons we're having this conversation right now is that hopefully, whether it's for this year, people can start preparing also for next year. So whether it's the tax season of the typical April here in the US, or you have quarterly, or however you have your finances set up. But hopefully when you hear this, you know that there's still hope for you. You have a good, you have time. You have time to get it together. So what are some of the tips that you would give to people that are listening and they feel like, I can't work with anyone because I'm embarrassed, I'm scared, I don't have it together, I need time. I need time to just get it together to even hire somebody. What would you tell those people?
Yes. And, you know, the first thing is, I completely understand and your feelings are valid in feeling that way. Just know, though, that this is literally what we enjoy and love doing. And we just, earlier this year, there was a client who has not filed taxes ever. So we're going back and doing the last 9 years worth of taxes for her. She's had a business, she's had, you know, children, all these different things that's happened over this time span. And we're retroactively going back to collect all the data. And I'm sure it's, you know, embarrassing or whatnot for her, but we like love this. It's like investigative work for us to be able to like find the bank that has since been closed down and see how we can get statements and activity. So don't feel ashamed for it, although I completely understand why you might have some feelings for it, but this is literally what we're put on this earth to do. And I also will say, though, that the sooner that you then kind of pass that baton over to a professional to fix, the better. Because while we do love to investigate, once a bank shuts down or whatever, it does make it significantly harder to get the data that we need. So the sooner that you kind of pass it over, the better. And the more that you can stay on top of it, the better. And really, one easy tip is have a folder, like an actual just physical folder, and have a thumb drive or a flash drive. Between those two things, you can house everything that you need as you go throughout the year. So don't wait until tax season or the top of the year, but as you actually go throughout the year, if you get a paper or a letter or anything in the mail, or an email with a tax form, go ahead and put that on that thumb drive if it's digital, or put it in that folder if it's physical. And then at the end of the year, you have all your documentation in two places. And it makes it a lot easier for us as a service provider, but also for you to not have to go through all the filing cabinets and all the different systems. Everything is already in those two things. And that will definitely help it go by quicker.
Yeah. So hearing you say this too makes me highlight more how I know that sometimes technology is not our friend, or especially with business owners or head of households, we just kind of don't trust the system, whatever that technology system is, but that sometimes it can be your friend as opposed to that filing cabinet and having to somehow get that information over to the whoever needs it. Like, you know, it's just such a different type of passing the baton, like to go from that or just some files you could do your investigative work on.
In my office, I'm looking at it right now. I have the filing cabinet. Like, I still have one, and each drawer is for each one of us in the family, and we all have our own little drawer. It's filled with papers. So I still do it, and I still have all the documentation. The end goal is, though, when it comes to taxes, it's one folder, and it's all in that one folder. And then maybe like my son's school stuff is all in a separate folder, but at least, and I know you can probably speak to improving the organization of that filing cabinet. I know you could. But as long as you have your tax documentation in one spot, you know, your physical stuff in one spot, your digital in another, it definitely significantly takes that stress off come tax season. It doesn't feel like, oh my God, I'm in the midst of tax season. It just feels like another day.
Okay, so speaking of data and information, what is some of the tips that you would give to people as far as like software? Okay, so let's talk about like software apps. So tips and your own thoughts about how to pick the right one, pros and cons. Let's just talk with technology and where you're storing your data when you finally get to that point.
Yes, the top two contenders are usually QuickBooks Online. You'll hear that one a lot. And then Xero is another one that's pretty good. They're very, very similar. Xero is spelled X-E-R-O. But yeah, those are going to be your top two. I'm a little bit more partial to QuickBooks, just for the ease of it. However, here's the thing with QuickBooks Xero and any accounting software is it's just user-friendly enough to let anyone kind of use it, whether you have an accounting background or not. But it's also just tricky enough where you can really trick yourself up and mess things up on the back end, because at the end of the day, you do still actually have to have some kind of an accounting knowledge to do all of it accurately. So my thing with QuickBooks and Xero and really any accounting software is I would not invest in using an accounting software unless you have someone, even if it's a bookkeeper that's just working with you 3 hours a month, but you have someone who's doing the bulk of the accounting work within that tool. And maybe you're just responsible for going in there once a week and doing some of the small things that you can do that makes sense. Some of the like classifications and journal entries, that is not something that someone that doesn't know accounting should be doing. And we see more often than not, books come to us in a incorrect shape that we have to then go back and fix. And it's not the fault of the business owner, honestly, in my opinion, it's the fault of these software tools, these SaaS solutions that market to business owners like, hey, come work with us, when they know that it's, you know, yeah, it's not like really.
You can do this too. Just for then, $50 a month, you can be right. Your own finance accounting.
But then on the back end, they'll sell you because they'll say, oh, we have a team of bookkeepers that you can also hire to help you manage your QuickBooks Online. But they don't talk about that on the commercials and everything, right? So that's the part about it that's a little icky and I don't love. But if you do have a bookkeeper that you love or that you can work with for just a few hours a month, that's really all that it takes for most sets of books. For most people, it does not take this 20-hour a week bookkeeper to come in. So a few hours a month using a QuickBooks or a Xero, and you know, that should be more than sufficient for most.
If there was any doubt as to why I really wanted Kendra on this podcast, I hope you just heard it, because she's just, you're just like, whenever I hear you or I see you, you're just such a, you're down to earth and you're very kind and with heart and you understand and the heart of a business owner or the head of the household that this is not their, might not be their strength, and they're just trying their best and trying not to end up, you know, in trouble, financial trouble. So you're so kind and so knowledgeable, but also you give the behind the scenes, like the real truth. So thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. So, all right. Because I know that we can go on and on with, I mean, I could go on for hours in talking about this. There's just, I know a lot of information that you could give people. But I think this hopefully will give the listener at least a starting point and not feel scared and know that it's okay. And that gives them some point of reference as to where to start with organizing their stuff. So before we start unwinding, we always ask our guests, like, what is one takeaway that you would give people? And for today, it's all about like their finances. Okay, so whatever journey they're on in their, but right now they're just feeling overwhelmed about their money, their finances, their paperwork, and getting that organized. Like, what is one takeaway you would give people?
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed in any aspect of your business, but if we're talking finance, like if you're feeling overwhelmed, there's always a way to outsource some component of it. Like it could be, like I said, just a couple hours a month to, if you want somebody who's really in there, you know, a couple hours a week, but there's always something that you can outsource. And there are so many different avenues you can go. You don't have to hire somebody here in the States. You can outsource to someone overseas for a fraction of the cost on these sites like Upwork and things like that. You know, look at your different resources But there, if you're feeling overwhelmed, then definitely bring somebody on to support you, because there are so many different folks who would love to be able to support you in your business. That would be the biggest thing for sure.
Do you do strategy calls where, you know, especially for people that are trying to find out like what their budget should be or what they should be saving for? Is that something that you do, like your firm does?
Well, we do VIP days. So usually VIP days are great for individuals who have businesses that, and they're at like this tipping point in their business and they just need more information, data, strategy. So usually it's like if they're hiring their first person, they don't know how much can I afford, or they're, you know, maybe e-commerce, but they're considering also getting a brick and mortar location. So if there's some big thing that's happening and they're wanting to really talk through the strategy and build out the plan for that, we can definitely do that.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Okay. So as our listeners know, well, the next one is more of a fun question, but this one's, what is your favorite magazine, physical or digital, or maybe nowadays blog, that you enjoy reading?
Yeah.
For fun or for fun?
So I will admit that right now I have a 3-year-old son, but we're growing our family right now. So I just hit 9 weeks pregnant right now. So I am going to tell you, I am obsessed with all of these like mom boards of like transitioning from 1 to 2. And so all of the boards, the what to expect, the bump, all of those different things. I know that's like not magazine, but I'm definitely knee deep in all of those communities and trying to learn more about transitioning from 1 to 2. It's become an obsession over these past few months, I'll tell you.
Oh, how exciting. Congratulations. That is so, so exciting. I totally get it, especially in the finance, organized, like us people, we will dig. We will dig deep. We will find the information.
Yes,
as much as possible. Okay. All right. So before we unwind, we definitely want to tell people where to find you, what kind of services does your firm offer? And yeah, I mean, of course, it'll be in the show notes, as everybody knows. But where can they find you? Where would you like people to go and visit more of your content?
Yeah, the best place to go is our website, which is thefinancefemme.com. So femme is F-E-M-M-E. But if you go there, thefinancefemme.com, or shoot me an email at info@thefinancefemme.com, that's the best route to go. As far as services, we offer everything from executive accounting, which is where we do that bookkeeping and accounting for you, give you your financial reporting, all the way to fractional CFO support, which is where I'll come in and help you with your business strategy and create that whole plan, as well as taxes. So really anything on the business finance and strategy side, we can help you and take care of you. But yeah, if you come to thefinancefemme.com, that's the best place to go.
Awesome. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you again for your time. And until later. Thanks, Kendra.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Organized and Productive Podcast with the Organized Flamingo. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love it if you leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast player. It helps with letting people know that we're here. For full show notes and resources, head on over to theorganizedflamingo.com/podcast. Happy organizing!